and in the UK generally. We're in the midst of an unusual time. There's been this long lockdown. Churches are starting to reopen. We're holding services here now on a Sunday again, on a Thursday night, but still some are unable to come. It's an unusual time. And in the midst of uncertainties, and God must give us wisdom to know what shall we continue to do online, what can reopen in the church, we need to walk by faith. And faith is often misunderstood. There are some people who think of faith as the opposite of rational thought, as if faith were nothing more than positive or wishful thinking. And many people make the mistake of confusing faith with feeling. So if they don't feel it, it can't possibly be true. Well, Hebrews 1, all the way through the book, speaks about faith, but particularly in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter we've been thinking about tonight, the writer tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then faith is illustrated in this chapter of Hebrews. It's all about men and women of faith, men and women whose faith in Jesus Christ inspires us. And almost always we find in this chapter people whose faith was made strong through adversity. So not a theoretical faith that wasn't put to the test. It's not like a textbook on faith. Here's faith in the nitty-gritty details of life, sometimes in the difficulties of life. And when you read this chapter, Hebrews 11, I wonder if you say to yourself, this is what it means to have faith, to keep trusting in Jesus Christ. This is what it means to have faith. Now, sometimes we think of faith when a person first entrusts him or herself to Jesus Christ. And of course, that's true. At the beginning of the Christian life, there's an embracing by faith Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and King. But faith is not a one-time experience. It's tempting to fall into that trap because we put a lot of emphasis on the need to be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. I challenge people often in preaching to accept Jesus Christ, to receive Jesus Christ, to trust Jesus Christ, to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And that's important and it's right. But we don't want to leave the impression that having been saved by faith, then the rest of the Christian life is up to you. No, the faith that saves is the faith that carries you day by day. Faith in Jesus Christ, walking by faith, not by sight, as you make the journey from earth to heaven. So the Bible tells us that in the gospel, a righteousness is revealed that is by faith from first to last. In other words, the whole Christian life is a life of faith. Saved by faith, kept by faith, walk by faith, endure by faith, rejoice by faith, serve by faith, love by faith, pray by faith, worship by faith, obey God by faith. So faith, yes, is the empty hand that reaches out to Jesus Christ for salvation. Faith is the way into everlasting life, the means of access to God. The writer to Hebrews here in verse 6 says, faith is the only way in which you can please God. Faith is that victory which overcomes the world and is the key to answered prayer. But the question and the challenge of these verses for us tonight is, yes, that is true at the beginning of the Christian life. But how do we then keep walking by faith? There was a missionary called John Payton who was translating the Bible for South Sea Islanders a long time ago. And he was unable to get a word in their vocabulary which quite caught this meaning of trusting, believing, entrusting yourself, having faith. And so he was trying to work out how could he convey this idea to them of faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. And one day, as he was busy translating, one of the people came running into his house as Peyton was hard at work and flopped down in a chair and said to Peyton, "It's so good to rest my whole life in this chair. It's so good to rest my whole life in this chair." And Peyton thought, ah, I've got the word now for faith. Faith is resting your whole life on Jesus Christ. And that word went into his translation of the New Testament. It helped a whole new group of people to understand what faith in Jesus Christ looked like. It means you put your whole life, you rest your whole life on Jesus Christ. And so in these verses that we're going to look at tonight, first of all, we see faith defined. There's a clear message, isn't there, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, about what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then there's like a whole gallery, like as if you go to an art gallery and see all the pictures there. In Hebrews 11, you have an art gallery of the men and women of faith. And as you walk around in the art gallery, you see these men and women, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses' parents, by faith Moses himself, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea, by faith the walls of Jericho fell, by faith the harlot Rahab, the exploits of faith, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. The writer says he doesn't have time to explain all that they did by faith. But this gallery of faith, it's a great chapter to describe to us what faith is like. And in verses 33 to 35, lest we think that faith wasn't put to the test in difficulty. Through faith, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others a trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. This was not some easy bed of roses faith. No, this was faith in the harsh reality sometimes of extreme difficulties in this life. But they were men and women of faith. What had they done to deserve that, the treatment that the writer of Hebrews here talks about? Well, they were men and women who lived by faith. They lived by faith. And we are called, in our current circumstances, to be men and women who live by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ, even when it might mean in our society increasingly we face certain pressures and difficulties. The testings that these men and women of faith went through made them stronger. They were not lesser saints because of the difficulties they endured. They were greater saints because they were faithful. They were men and women of faith even when things seemed to be going all against them. And then in verse 39 we have this summary, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. They were looking forward. They were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ. But there's this common factor. All that they did by faith. You might think there wasn't much that would link together Abraham a man of faith, and Rahab, the harlot, the woman of faith. But at crucial moments in life, they were a man, a woman who acted in faith. And sometimes faith means going against the prevailing public opinion then. I think increasingly we are seeing that in the UK, as in many other parts of the world. By faith, Noah built an ark. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. Moses rejected Egypt. So if you decide tonight to live by faith, if you're a man or woman of faith, trusting in Jesus Christ, you'll stand out from the crowd. You may face ridicule. You may face opposition. Hebrews 11 demonstrates that that's not rare in the life of faith. And deep down in the hearts of believers, we must understand then that the life of faith is not restricted to some special elite group of Christians. Nor you and I today, tomorrow, this week ahead, as we in the church here work out how we're going to move forward through these difficulties that have arisen because of the lockdown and the pandemic. You need, I need, we need to be men and women of faith. To live as a Christian. And then this definition of faith then, Hebrews 11, reminds us. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Ken Weir writes, the word substance is made up of this idea, to stand under a foundation. It speaks of a ground on which you build your hope. You stand under this foundation. It's a legal term. It's talking about something that would bear you up entirely. Faith, he translates it like this, faith is the title deed of things hoped for. That the Holy Spirit energizes your faith. You exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ becomes that title deed which God puts in your hand, guaranteeing the possession of the thing for which you trusted in him. You have this assurance. You have the foundation that your acceptance before God doesn't rest in yourself or anything that you have done. It rests on Jesus Christ. He is your foundation. And then living the life of faith means you stand on that foundation. You stand under that foundation and it means you walk by faith. You see, all of us, I think the default mode we all are subject to is a works righteousness, to trust in ourselves. Like on a computer, there's a default mode when things start to go wrong, you can say, go back to how things were at the start, and you push the button, and the default mode on the computer takes everything back to as it was at the beginning. And sometimes in the Christian life, it's like that. We know that we should be trusting in Jesus Christ, but a problem emerges, a trouble comes, a difficulty arises. We think, this seems impossible. And the default mode we go back to is think now, how am I going to look to myself? How am I going to sort this out? My own strength, my own resources, my own abilities. But faith looks to Jesus Christ then. Faith says, no, I will not stand on self. I will take my stand on Jesus Christ. Is that where you're standing tonight? You're standing for your acceptance before God. And as you live this life of faith this week ahead, you say, I'm going to take my stand on Jesus Christ. I'm not just going to rely on my own abilities and resources. I'm going to be a man, a woman of faith. So as Hebrews 11 defines faith for us, it then goes on to illustrate faith. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Now he's talking about all these people. Noah, Moses, David, Ruth, Esther, Job, Daniel, the men and women of God. They all received a witness, the writer says. At one time I was asked to give a series of sermons in America. And in America, when preachers get a bit excited sometimes, they say to the congregation, "Can I have a witness?" I do that here, nobody knows what I'm talking about. But in America, if I say, "Can I have a witness?" somebody, like Michael now at the back, will shout, "Amen."
Amen.
Yeah, see, that's how it works in America, a witness. And that's what the preacher wants. And that's what he's saying here. God is doing the witnessing here. When Moses stood for righteousness, when David went out to fight Goliath, when those three Hebrews refused to bow down, when Nehemiah rebuilt the walls, when Elijah took a stand against the prophets of Baal, God looked down and said, "Amen." That's a child of God walking by faith. That's a man, that's a woman of faith. Amen. That man, that woman is standing for me, a man or woman of faith. And so you and I, this week ahead, there'll be times when we face those sorts of difficulties that come to all of us as we live the Christian life. Where you take a stand for God and God from heaven bears witness. Amen. That's my child. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, standing for me, living for me, speaking for me, working for me, by faith. Sometimes, as you read Hebrews 11, you might think these great heroes of faith are far removed from us. It's hard to think of these great heroes of faith coming to live in modern day London. We think of them as far away characters from the dark past. But we are joined to them by this truth. What they did by faith. And this week ahead, you and I are called to be men and women of faith too. Time, culture, language, history, there's a big gap between them and us. And yet God honors faith. God bears witness. When you stand for him by faith. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now these were Old Testament believers. They lived before the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, into this world. In that sense, they knew less than us. And yet they accomplished so much. So there's a sense, isn't there, which living by faith requires almost a sort of holy discontent. You say there are some things in life this week ahead where I'm going to have to walk by faith and not just go along with the crowd, not just fit in like a chameleon, not let this world squeeze me into its mold, not just go along with the flow in society. No, there's a holy discontent. You say, I want more of Jesus Christ. I want to stand for him. I want to live for him. You haven't reached the state of spiritual perfection. You know there's much to do in the kingdom of God and advances to be made. You're aware, we're all of us so aware sometimes there are areas in our lives where we fail. We don't walk by faith as we should. So we say, Lord, strengthen our faith, increase our faith, help us to look in faith and to live for Christ in faith this week. Faith says, believe, see, do. Because faith believes what others do not believe. You may be working this week in an office, in a factory, in a school, in a situation where the people around you do not believe. But faith says, even if others don't believe, I'd rather have Jesus. Faith trusts in him. Faith sees what others do not see. Faith looks to Jesus Christ. With the eye of faith, you see him. You say, there's a Savior who is for me at God's right hand. Others may not see, but by faith you see. And therefore, as a result, faith does what others do not do. Maybe people will say to you tomorrow, what did you do on Sunday? Isn't it striking what the government has highlighted can be done with the easing of restrictions? Saturday, yesterday, and today, Sunday. Pubs reopen. Restaurants reopen. All sorts of places reopen. But faith says there's something more than just living for this world. To live for Jesus Christ, to trust in an unseen Saviour, but who is unseen but forever at hand, I'm going to live for him. So faith is not just passive. You believe, you see, you act, you do. You say yes to righteousness. Faith, then. A friend of mine once said, faith is outrageous trust in God. I was struck when he said that. Outrageous trust. Tomorrow as you work, outrageous trust in God. People say, you're a crazy man, you're a crazy woman to live for Jesus Christ in modern day London. But it was outrageous trust, isn't it? When Noah built an ark hundreds of miles from any body of water. Noah, you're a crazy man. But no, Noah was a man of faith. David, you are a crazy man to go down into that valley and try to fight against Goliath. This is a crazy idea. You can't possibly win. Don't do it. You're a crazy man. And yet outrageous trust in God sent David down into that valley to face and to defeat the giant. And it may be that you're in a situation right now. There's a difficulty in your life or in your family or in your workplace, in your situation, where you need outrageous trust in God. And this chapter helps us to have that outrageous trust in God. Surely at a time where our nation is seemingly becoming more godless rather than in the difficulties we're in turning to God, using the situation of difficulty to become even more godless. But faith has outrageous trust in God, says, with God there's nothing impossible. God is able to make a nation overnight. Oh God, intervene in this nation of ours. So faith is defined and faith is illustrated. And then thirdly, faith is applied. I've said faith is not a feeling, primarily. Faith is a conscious choice to believe what God says. You won't progress much in the Christian life if you just stay on the level of your feelings. If Noah had waited till he felt like building an ark, perhaps he would never have started with that first piece of wood. If Joshua had waited to feel like marching around the walls of Jericho would never have fallen. Now, feelings are important. I'm not dismissing feelings, but they're not the basis of true faith. If you've been in a hospital waiting room, waiting for a loved one in surgery, your feelings may have been churned up in 101 ways. And in the midst of the turmoil, you must consciously choose to believe that God is who he said he is, that God's love for you in Jesus Christ is steadfast and unchangeable, and that God's promises in Christ are yes and amen. He will never leave, never forsake his people. And you've had to make choices like that if you're a Christian. And it may be in these weeks ahead, as faith chooses and acts and the feelings follow, that in the midst of the turmoil, you have to choose to be a man and woman of faith. I sometimes say to people regarding a prayer meeting, come to a prayer meeting to pray. People say to me, I'll wait till I feel like praying. I say, hang on, wait. Faith does not act on feelings. Doesn't wait for feelings. Don't wait for feelings. Be a man and woman of faith. Begin to pray and the feelings will follow. So faith acts in spite of doubts and opposition and difficulty. If you say, I'm going to wait for the feelings, I'm going to wait till all the circumstances are in my favor, you might wait forever. David did not wait for a day until he thought, perhaps today Goliath is feeling sick. No, he trusted God. He went into that valley to face Goliath. He didn't wait till he felt like it. Someone has put it like this: faith is like belief plus unbelief, but acting on belief. Acting on belief. We all have fears and doubts. The chapter we've read here reminds us of some of these men. But they acted on faith. There was a man called Harry Fosdick who didn't say many good things that evangelicals rejoice in. But he once talked about the future. And he said something which was very striking about the future. He said, Nero once condemned Paul, but the years have passed on, and the time has come when men call their sons Paul and their dogs Nero. It was an amazing admission for a liberal man to acknowledge that the truth of the word of God stands the test of time. We can stand on the promises of God, rely on the word of God, and rejoice tonight that faith sees what others do not see. It sees the promises of God and stands on them and prays them back to God and relies on them. Philip Yancey says, faith means believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. There are many choices in life when we face deep and searching issues and we can't find any human answers and we look to God in faith. We trust God in the midst of the difficulty. And then as we look back, there we see the hand of God. Faith doesn't have all the answers in advance. But by faith we see things that are invisible to this world. By faith we move ahead tonight and we trust in an unseen Savior and we live for an unseen heaven. But all things will one day make perfect sense, Hebrews tells us, when we look back, when we see in reverse. We're living at a time when many people's lives are empty and meaningless. They say there's no God, no God of love or grace or forgiveness. An emptiness, a meaninglessness about life. How different is it to be a Christian, trusting in Jesus Christ? To have that foundation for life and a sure and certain hope that sustains us in the midst of difficulty. So the world says to you tonight, seeing is believing. And God says to you, believing is seeing. The world, seeing is believing. God says, believing is seeing. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, biblical faith is not faith in faith. It's not believing in yourself and your own powers of self-persuasion. No, faith is as strong as the object that it rests on. Your faith is to rest on Jesus Christ. Faith trusts in Jesus Christ. Some of you have come across that little memory way of understanding what faith is. Takes the letters of faith, F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. Faith. That's what I'm going to do tonight. Forsaking all. I'm not going to trust anything else. I trust him. I trust Christ. Now the Bible's calling is not that you understand everything that's going to happen this week in advance. But you say, whatever it means, trusting in Jesus Christ, I'm going to trust him and live for him this week. Forsaking all, I trust him. and that Saviour is a reliable Saviour. Many of you have put your lives in the hands of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ. You've put your hands in Jesus, your life into the hands of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, for peace with God, for acceptance before God. No false promises of health and prosperity and a bed of roses. You said, I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow him wherever he leads. And you may say to me, well, what if the Lord Jesus Christ asks us to do something that we think that's impossible, we can't do it? And the answer of the Bible is, he will do that. That's what he does. If the Lord only asked us to do things that we always think, yes, we can do that, then we might feel we didn't need him. But following Jesus Christ sometimes means going into situations where the world says it's impossible. But faith laughs at the impossibilities and says, trusting in God, it will be done. So faith is the law of the kingdom of God. The blessings of the kingdom of God come to those who put their faith into action. Moment by moment, day by day, tonight, this week ahead, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Moses, by faith, Ben, by faith, Regina, by faith, Roloff, by faith, Klaas-Jan. That's how it works. That God will give us that faith to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That you could read this chapter of Hebrews 11 and say, I'm going to be a man, I'm going to be a woman, trusting in Jesus Christ who lives and dies by faith. Trusting in Jesus Christ, a man, a woman of faith. Let's pray that God will enable us to do that. Let's pray together. Lord, we turn to you this evening. We thank you that your word comforts us and it challenges us. It challenges us because we walk in a world that wants us to live by sight. And forgive us, Lord, that sometimes that is what we are tempted to do, and to look to ourselves and our own strength and our own abilities. Whereas your word has challenged us tonight to be men and women of faith, to look to an unseen Saviour, trusting in him, to live for an unseen world of glory, and yet knowing that the promises of God are yes and amen to all who put their trust in Jesus Christ, that this is a reliable Saviour. A Saviour we can put our trust in and know that he will never let us go. What a joy, what a delight, what a glory it is tonight to live for Christ, to walk by faith, not by sight. So help us. Forgive us, Lord, when we've turned aside. Help us now tonight. Help us this week ahead. Help us as a church as we seek to walk by faith, to do so looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, looking to him, that great Saviour who is at the right hand of God even now, whoever lives to make intercession for us. We thank you for him, our great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We come in his great name and ask, Lord, that you will hear us and have mercy upon us now. Even as we come to you, we come in Jesus' name. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and with all God's people, both tonight and even forevermore. Amen. I mentioned this morning, we're using the side doors to exit. So rather than go out the way you came in, you can go out either through this door or that door. This door takes you more or less straight out to the front. This door you have to go round and make your way through or around the building that way to get out. But if you want to have a chat outside, that's fine. It's better to be outside, though, in the current circumstances than inside.